Morning again, everyone. Okay, Norm, you just preached my message. Thank you. I'll just sit down. But if you take your cards, the 12 steps to victorious living, and we'll read through those. Let us fear lest we fail to rest in Christ. Let us be diligent. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us draw near to the throne of grace. Let us press on to maturity. Let us draw near to the most holy place. Let us hold fast our confession without wavering. Let us consider one another. Let us run with endurance the race. Let us show gratitude. Let us go out to him outside the camp. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. So, Father, this morning I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that are here. I thank you, Lord, for our 12 steps to victorious living. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I was given, let us press on to maturity. I like to take the verses and just dissect them. The first one is Hebrews 1. And it says, therefore, leaving the decision of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from death works and of faith towards God. Leaving does not mean to despise or abandon the basic doctrines. It means they are the place to start and stop. In other words, God gives us his word so we know how to start and where to stop. It's our teaching. And then it goes on to say, they are the gate of entrance on the road to salvation. In other words, when we read his word, His scripture shows us, teaches us, guides us, instructs us how to get closer to Christ. Elementary principles are essential for all believers to understand. In other words, we start from very little. It's like when I see a lot of babies this morning, but it's like when you're born, you're not born all grown up. You're not born at age 30, 40. You're not grown at that age. So when we come to Christ, we are born as babes, the Bible says. Those basics include the importance of faith, the foolishness of trying to be saved by good deeds, and the meaning of baptismal and spiritual gifts, the facts of resurrection and eternal life in Christ. So God's elementary principles teach us those things. It teaches us that we are not saved by good deeds. It doesn't matter how much good you do, or how good you try to be, it's that brings us into salvation. And then it goes on to say, perfection to the whole and complete. Perfection doesn't mean that when, like us ladies, when we clean house, it has to be perfect. No dust, no crumbs on the floor. Clothes folded. No, that doesn't mean that. It means that We become whole in Christ after we understand His word and His guidance, His direction. Maturity, then we grow up as we continue in His word and we stand back and pray and we learn how to read the scripture and we sit back and we meditate on His word and spend time on His word and not focusing on what somebody else is doing, but what God is showing me what I need to do in my life. That is what the word says. Repentance from dead works is turning away from evil deeds that bring death and turning to God. It doesn't mean that we're dead. It means that we are spiritually, we do not understand the spiritual part of knowing Christ. And I believe that Norm touched on that this morning as he said, well, I was living this life, but now God has brought me right here, and I can understand. That's where God wants us, to be able to come from here to here and be able to understand that no matter how much we work to do the good thing or the right thing, it doesn't bring us into salvation with Jesus Christ. We accept Him in our hearts. We accept Him with our mouth. Dead, meaning without physical or spiritual life. Here it's talking about a spiritual life without Christ. Faith directed away from God. In other words, I place my faith on this bench, which is away, or pew, which is away from God. It is dead works. Doesn't mean that we're dead. We are alive. We're all alive here. It means that spiritually we do not understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, do not be children in understanding. Here we go again. Do not be babes. Do not be children. But however, in malice be babes. In other words, before we come to Christ, we do not understand the right things to do. And then it says, but be understanding, be mature. Paul is talking to the church. The church was out of line, and so Paul was trying to bring them back to the knowledge of Christ. So when we know Christ, when we have that fellowship with Him, when we have that relationship with Him, things are different. Things change. I believe... You preach my message, Norm. Norm said this morning, it was, you know, until he forgave. There's an understanding. We have to come to that conclusion. We have to come to that understanding that without Christ, we are nothing. We may be walking around. We may be going to work. We may have our families and do things that we try to do ourselves that are good. But without Christ, you know, so many things, I'm going to go out on the limb here. So many things are happening in this world. You know, we just had an incident here, even in Elkhart. I believe it was a week ago. Anyway, this person was so angry that he took out two people and he killed himself. And I'm thinking, where was his hope? He was empty of hope. There was no hope there. Because when we have hope, when we have Jesus, our understanding, our compassion towards others is totally different. That even though they hurt us or cause us pain, or we get uncomfortable with what they say or whatever, we can still forgive them and move on.
That's right. Amen.
Because Christ is in us. Mm-hmm. So I'll move on. Brothers, stop thinking like children. This is from my NIV Application Study Bible. It says, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. He's talking about a spiritual life. He's talking about when we come to Christ. Paul, again, is exhorting the church and telling them, stop thinking like children. You don't want to be drinking milk all the time and taking your bottle, sucking your thumb. You want to grow up and be mature. And this is what Paul was saying. You know, stop thinking like children. Grow up. Come on, grow up. Philippians 3:15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, when we come to Christ, when we have that relationship with Him, when we read His scripture, when we spend time in prayer, then we grow up spiritually. And we stop thinking like the world thinks. And God will reveal to us those things in our lives that need change. And Norm said it. God showed him where he used a person, but God showed him where he needed to do, what he needed to do and where he needed to go back. Sometimes we wonder, okay, God, what's going on? Why is that person causing me so? And it's not the person. It's not the other person. It's us. God is talking to us. God is telling us, change. I give you that choice to change, which is an awesome God because He's so loving and gentle. He gives us a choice. And then it says, let us draw near to the holy place, which is spending time with God in prayer, that line of communication doesn't break, but we keep it strong so that we know what our direction is, so we know what the plans and the purposes that He has for our lives. In Hebrews 10:19-22 says, therefore, brethren, there's Paul again, he's talking to the brethren, he's talking to the church, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us. In other words, we need to go back we need to go back to the cross and think about Jesus died for my sin. So God, show me where am I lacking? Where am I missing it? Consecrated us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts will be changed because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He shed His blood. He died on the cross. He walked, carried his cross, and all he's asking us to do is carry our cross. Let us hold fast to our confession without wavering. In other words, when we come to Christ, don't sit on the fence and say, okay, today I'm going to serve you, today I'm going to pray, today I'm going to spend time with you. But when the trouble comes, when the trial comes, am I going to still be on your side, God? When war comes, am I still going to be on your side? When I lack, am I still going to be on your side? Am I going to trust in you? When sickness comes, am I still going to be there? Or am I going to step away? Hebrews 23 says to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, without, you know, if you've ever been down south close to the ocean, I was raised in Brownsville, Texas, right close to the Gulf Coast. And when you go down to the beach, there's palm trees and palm trees and palm trees. So when the storms come, the palm trees bend, 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 bend. When the storm passes, the palm trees stand up straight again. And I believe this is what Paul was saying to the church. Not to waver, but to hold fast. In other words, plant your roots deep. Plant your roots deep. Confession, to admit or acknowledge faith or sin. God is waiting for us to confess, to go out and confess and tell the people out there, there's a God out there. There's a God of hope. Have faith. Waver to sway to and fro, to show indignation, to flutter. Indecision, I'm sorry, to show indecision. In other words, I'm here today because everything is going okay. Tomorrow I'll be over here because I'm going through something. That's wavering. Faithful reliance, loyalty, or complete trust in God or someone. I would put my trust in God. Philippians 3:14. 15 says, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. A marathon runner does not look back, because if they look back because of the crowd that is following them, they will fall and lose the race. So this is what Paul is saying. Don't run towards the race to win the prize, but don't look back. Don't look back at your past. Don't look back at what just happened. They keep looking forward to Christ. James 2:14 says, 14:20 says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and fed, but does nothing about this physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is occupied by action, is not occupied by action, is dead. In other words, our faith has to be followed by action. What do we believe in? What is our faith placed on? Norm realized that he needed to have faith in something, which was Christ. When he realized that, when he pressed on God, then things changed for him. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." And that's true, church. People are watching us, what we do and what we don't do. "And I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? When someone claims to have faith, what they may have is intellectual asset. Agreement with a set of Christian teaching, and as such, it would be incomplete faith. True faith transfers our conduct as well as our thoughts. If our lives remain unchanged, we don't truly believe the truths we claim to believe." In other words, our faith has to be shown. And I'm telling you, people, that people outside of these walls see us. So it's our faith. Our faith has to have action. We can't just say, "Oh, I have faith." But when the trial comes or the tribulation comes, the problem comes, we're just not all there. So, but I would like to finish up, because I know I can smell the food in the kitchen. And I know most of you already. But we took a trip last weekend, and one of my sisters had posted on Facebook something awesome. When I accepted the Lord, I was in a Mennonite church, and my pastor, who was my pastor and my mentor, got kicked out of church because she spoke in tongues in a service one morning. And so anyway, when I was going to the Mennonite church, we sang from hymn books. And this just brought some memories to me. But this person that wrote this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," you know, I would sing it and sing it, but I had never read the history of the writer of this song. And I'll read it to you to finish my message. The song, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written by a successful Christian lawyer, Hirito Spafford. His only son died at age 4 in 1871. In 1872, the Great Chicago Fire wiped his vast estate made from a successful legal career. In 1873, he sent his wife and four daughters over to Europe on a summer trip on the ill-fast SS Villa du Havre, since he had a lot of work to do, he planned to follow them later. The ship sank, and he lost his four daughters, with the wife being the only survivor. She sent him a famous telegram, which simply read, "Saved alone." Can you imagine? On his return home, his law firm was burned down, and the insurance company refused to pay him. They said it's an act of God. He had no money to pay for his house, no work. He lost his house. Then, while sitting and thinking what's happening to him, being a spiritual person, he wrote a song. Whatever, my Lord, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My dear friend, a good attitude will determine your altitude. When you look at your life, career, job, or family life, what do you say? Do you say, praise God? Do you blame the devil? A good attitude towards God makes him move on your behalf. Just sit down and say today, God, it is well with my soul. I am thankful I have a job. I am thankful I have family and friends. Above all, I am thankful I have the Lord Jesus Christ on my side. Be blessed and don't be envious or shocked when others are prospering because you don't know what they have been through to get there. So thank God for what you have. Little is much with God. When God is in it, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Thank you.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. I'm going to ask praise team if they'll come at this time. Lord put a song on Brianna's heart called, O Come to the Altar. And it's based upon several scriptures. And it goes right along with our message and what the Spirit of the Lord is doing this morning. We want to open up this altar for during this song that you can come and pray. That you can come and forgive. That you can come and lay your burdens down. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about forgiveness. And one of the main scriptures that we often refer to is Luke 23:34, where Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And often people don't know how bad they've hurt you. They don't understand the actions, or they don't have the ability, the feelings anymore, the empathy to even understand how another person feels. So on the cross, Jesus gave us a good example. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So this morning, I encourage you to come forward during this song. You know, forgiveness is a fundamental character of God. And there is so much about it in the scripture. And God is described as being slow to anger. He's abounding in love. And he's forgiving sin. So let's stand this morning. I'm going to ask Brianna. She'll go ahead and sing this song. It's based off the scripture Psalm 95:6 and several other scriptures. But that scripture calls us to come to the altar. Oh, come. And let us worship, and let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And today, we can hear His voice. So I encourage you, just come, lay it all down, and let those tormenting voices in the recording that just plays over and over in your head about what I could have done, what I should have done, and if only. Just let go of that today. That you can have the peace that God wants you to have.